Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First OMA PW service today. I'd particularly like to welcome Eileen Black, who comes from Cookstown, so she didn't have too far to travel today. She said it was one of her easiest journeys she had to do. She's a deaconess with PCI, and Eileen hasn't been in our church before. She was saying how lovely it is, and that's lovely to hear, and you're very welcome today. Eileen has been a deaconess in Macrofelt Church, but has more recently moved to Belfast, and I'm sure she will tell us about her work and her ministry in the city later on. Thanks also to Roberta for leading our music today. And I'd also like to thank our PW group, those who are taking part in the service today, and for all who continue to attend our meetings on a regular basis. O come, let's sing to the Lord. Let's shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let's extol him with songs, for the Lord is a great God and a great King. We'll open our service in praise this morning, singing hymn number 527, which is "The Lord's My Shepherd." Let us bow in prayer to God. Loving God, we gather together today to worship and praise your name, to give thanks and acknowledge your greatness. We thank you for the many blessings we receive each day. We thank you for the beauty of our world, our food, our life, our health, our friends, and our family. But most of all, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. We thank you that in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we see your love, justice, and mercy. Forgive us, Lord, for being too quick to speak and slow to listen. Forgive us for judging others, being self-centered, and thinking that we are better than others. Forgive us for being resentful, or holding grudges against people when we know in our hearts we ought to be filled with love, compassion and forgiveness. Forgive us when we get carried away with the busyness of each day, especially coming up to Christmas. Help us to lean on you and let you direct our path instead of getting bogged down with worries. We ask you to bless Eileen and her work in Belfast. We pray that her work will be guided by you in sharing the gospel and in reaching out into the community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our reading this morning, first reading, is going to be read by Grace Short, and it is Psalm 23 and will be found on page 549 in your church Bibles.
The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength, he guides me in the right paths as he has promised. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me, your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live.
Now, if the boys and girls would like to come up to the front, with somebody strange for you today to talk to you, but you're not that strange. I hope you'll enjoy listening to her. Thank you, Ed.
My goodness, we've got lots of boys and girls coming up here to the front. And so come on ahead and squeeze in. And that's great. Thank you very much indeed. Good morning. Are you all okay? School going all right? Aye, I suppose so. I suppose. Tell me this, boys and girls. I have a question. I have a question for the whole lot of you, but I have a particular question for the boys and girls here. Have you ever moved a flock, a great big flock of sheep, from one field over there to another field away over here? Are there any farmers among you? Any farmers? It's sort of a, there's a bit of a wobble here. Do you know anything about sheep? You do. Have you ever moved sheep from one field away over here to another field? Is it an easy job? It's a right hard job to do. I have never moved a flock of sheep from one field to another, just in case you think I'm a farmer. But we've got one here, and you'll keep me right, son, so you will. I want to tell you a story about something that I saw one time. I was driving along. I live beside Drum Manor Forest Park. That's way out in the country in Cookstown. And I came up to the T-junction. You know that big main Cookstown to Oma Road? I drove on it this morning. It can be a right busy road, so I can't. I came up to a T-junction wanting to make the turn to where I live. And what a sight I saw. I saw a great big flock of sheep, boys and girls, about 40 or 50 sheep. And you know, they were flying down the Drum Road at about 90 mile an hour. They were absolutely going a humdinger down that road. And to me, they seemed to know where they were going. Now, do you think they would have known where they were going? No. Do you know why they knew where they were going? Because there was a lady out in front of them. And she was the shepherd, so she was. Her name's Hazel, and she's my neighbour and my friend. And for whatever reason, known only to Hazel, she was moving her flock of sheep from a field away over here, down that busy road, to a field away over there to get them new grazing. And you know, them sheep, they were flying, so they were. And they weren't wandering off, they weren't doing anything. They were doing really well. They were moving. They seemed to know where they... Do you think they knew where they were going? No, you're absolutely right. Them sheep hadn't a clue where they were going. So how was it that they were able to get safely from one field to another? Who did they keep their eyes on? The lady that was out in front. Isn't that right? They kept their eyes fixed on the shepherd. And that was the only reason that they got safely from one field to another. They kept they were scared out of their minds. You could see it in their faces. They were terrified. But they were going at 90 mile an hour, and Hazel was going at 95 mile an hour, and they got down that road in double quick time, so they did. And do you see you boys and girls and me? Sometimes in our life we face frightening and tough things. Sometimes at school you've got a new subject to learn or something scary to do, and you can feel a wee bit wobbly. Where does our help come from? Well, do you see this book here? This book here is God's living word. And in here we find help for every circumstance that we might find. And I want to read you a little verse that I hope will help you at school, at this afternoon and at school this week. Because it says in the Bible, it says, boys and girls, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It also says to not to rely on what we think we know. It says to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And in everything that we do, in that hard homework that we do, or that new thing that we're going to learn, or in the things that we already know, in everything that we do, the Bible tells us to remember God, and He will direct our paths. Just like Hazel was running in front of those sheep, so too the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, goes before us. And we can learn about Jesus by opening this word and reading it for ourselves. So I hope that you will remember that story about those sheep and how they got safely along that dangerous road because they kept their eyes fixed on their shepherd. And that's what our prayer is for all of you, that you will grow up to know Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord. Now, I don't have the programme, Margaret, so what's next? Is it our hymn?
Yes, we're singing a hymn.
Okay.
Thank you, Eileen. Thank you. I just want to say I'm facing a tough time up here too, but I'm trusting in God will help me to get to the end of it. All right, thank you. Yes. We're going to sing another hymn now, and then the children will leave for Tots, Jigsaw and Blast. And the hymn is, well, I think it's maybe in both books, but it'll be on the screen anyway. It's Glory to God, and it's hymn number 60, and it's called One More Step Along the Way We Go.
Thank you.
Melanie Swan is going to come and read a poem, followed by Irene Wilson, who's going to do prayers for others. And then Christine is going to read the next reading, which is Psalm 85, and will be found on page 589 in the Pew Bibles.
The old violin, the touch of the master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it was scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two. $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a grey-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand." "What changed is worth," came the swift reply, "the touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the privilege of being able to meet in your house for worship in a comfortable building, and that we meet without fear from any source. We thank you for Jane, for her faithful preaching of the gospel Sunday by Sunday, and for her gifts as she pastors this congregation. We thank you for our office bearers, the Kirk Session, as they oversee the spiritual life of the congregation, and the committee as they deal with matters of finance, maintenance of property, etc. We pray that you will guide their thoughts and actions. At this uncertain time for our country, we pray for those seeking election to positions of authority and leadership, both locally and nationally. Instill in them integrity, moderation in language, and a willingness to put the needs of our country ahead of their own self-interest. We pray you to do as you have done right throughout history, to use even what seemed to be the most unlikely people to good effect. We pray to you our prayers for this congregation and beyond who are experiencing poor health, those still missing loved ones through death or separation, those suffering from troubled minds, the lonely and alone. May your love for us guide us in turn to seek opportunities to ease their burdens and enable us to do so with love and compassion. We bring before you the dedicated staff of our NHS as they struggle to maintain a level of service despite the challenges of staff shortages and lack of realistic funding. Keep our doctors and nurses from feelings of despair as they do their best in trying circumstances. We pray for the world in which we live, that we may use its resources carefully and aim for long-term sustainability. May governments and large corporations put the care of your created world ahead of selfish, short-term personal gains and encourage ordinary folk like us to do our bit as opportunities arise. Under your influence, may nations learn to work together in peace and banish mistrust and hatred. We ask you to bless the staff and volunteers of all the organisations who seek to make life a little better for those who find it impossible to maintain a decent standard of living due to factors outside their control. We think particularly of the work of Friendship House. Give the workers there patience, tolerance, and wisdom as their workload increases in the run-up to Christmas. Reassure them that the acts of simple kindness shown by them will be long remembered. Lord, sometimes we look at the problems in the world with feelings almost of despair. Help us to remember that as we pray to you, you are a constant God, the same God that Elijah prayed to on Mount Carmel, a God of love and an all-powerful God who promised to hear our prayers and respond to them. So we leave our concerns and our world in your hands. We ask these things through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Saviour. Let's join together now in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lord, you have been merciful to your land. You have made Israel prosperous again. You have forgiven your people's sins and pardoned all their wrongs. You stopped being angry with them and held back your furious rage. Bring us back, O God our Saviour, and stop being displeased with us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will your anger never cease? Make us strong again, and we, your people, will praise you. Show us your constant love, O Lord, and give us your saving help. I am listening to what the Lord God is saying. He promises peace to us, his own people, if we do not go back to our foolish ways. Surely he is ready to save those who honor him, and his saving presence will remain in our land. Love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will embrace. Man's loyalty will reach up from the earth, and God's righteousness will look down from heaven. The Lord will make us prosperous, and our land will produce rich harvests. Righteousness will go before the Lord and prepare the path for him. Amen.
Thank you. Now you have a chance to stand again. We're going to sing another hymn, and this time it is hymn 227 in the hymn book, and it is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Now, you've already obviously met Eileen, and she's going to come forward now, and we're looking forward to hearing what she's going to tell us about her ministry in Belfast.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. I'll just get myself sorted here. And good morning, everybody. And thank you so very much for your kind invitation to come along here this morning to First OMA. And thank you, Margaret, for all your help and encouragement throughout our correspondence with each other over the past couple of weeks. And you know, it really is a privilege and an honour to be here in this lovely part of the country and also this amazingly beautiful church. It is very beautiful, so it is. So thank you for your invitation. And on behalf of us all the serving deaconesses, I want to thank you for your prayerful and your financial support for the ongoing mission in Ireland. I know that without your prayers, I simply could not keep going. And so thank you. It's a real privilege to be able to thank you personally for your prayerful support here in this church and here in this PW. And also down through the years, the faithful and generous financial support of PW to Friendship House. Friendship House simply would not be in existence if it were not for Presbyterian women. So thank you very much indeed. I heard about Friendship House a long, long, long time ago when I was in Orator Presbyterian Church. That's my home congregation. And I was involved in the PW there. And I absolutely loved my involvement with PWA as it was and PW as it is now. And we supported and prayed for financially. We prayed for and supported financially Friendship House. And little did I think that one day I would work there. That never entered my head at all. But I actually now have just at the start of this month entered my second year in Great Victoria Street and Friendship House. But this year has just completely zipped past. I don't know about you. I must be getting older or something. That must be. Isn't that what they say? Time goes quicker when you get older. But anyway, this year's just zipped past. And this morning, I'd like to share with you a little bit about how it felt for me to leave the work that I was involved with in First Marafelt and go to Belfast. I haven't been able really to talk about that because it was just too hard. So I want to try and share with you a little bit about what that was like for me. And also I want to try and tell you a little bit about Friendship House and Great Victoria Street. And I do want to thank you for everyone who has taken part this morning, and especially for praying, not only for me, but for so many things. Thank you so much for that. And Margaret, your leadership, and also for reading Psalm 23. Earlier in the service. And I think the themes that PW choose each year to rest in, they're all very challenging and thought-provoking. And this year is no different with this theme of restore. And I want to start by telling you about something that has been restored in Great Victoria Street. Great Victoria Street, or GVS as I will call it from here on in, GVS is a very small congregation. This morning in church, and the service started at 11:30, there'll be no more than about 30 people there. That's it. Probably family-wise, and this is just off the top of my head, there's probably no more than maybe 70 family. It's a very, very small congregation. Back in the day, there was 200 to 300 families in that church a long time ago, but it has shrunk away down yet. Even though it is a small church, it is full of a people who are warm and welcoming and vibrant. And I have come to love and respect the people in Great Victoria Street very, very much. And there hasn't been a regular women's meeting in Great Victoria Street for a number of years. So after I went there last November, Wilma Harkness, who is the Reverend William Harkness's wife. William would be my line manager, not only in church, the work that I, the quarter of my time spent in church and the three quarters of my time spent in Friendship House. He's the manager there. He's sort of a shared ministry, like two churches, only it's a church and a church-based community centre. But Wilma and I, along with the ladies in Great Victoria Street, we talked about this and we thought about it and we prayed about it. And we knew there was a real desire to reignite a woman's minister, a woman's meeting in Great Victoria Street. And so in January of this year, we had our first GVS ladies meeting. And do you know, we have continued to meet every month since then. We're taking very small steps, but it has been a very humbling and a very precious experience, not only for me personally, but for us all in Great Victoria Street. And I look here and I see so many women here involved in PW here in this church. And I wonder, could I ask you to pray for us as we begin to grow together spiritually and binding in friendships together? I would lay that upon your heart. I can honestly say this morning that it would have been much more difficult for me to settle into the work in Friendship House had it not been for the support and the love and the fun and the banter and the fellowship of the congregation and the ladies in Great Victoria Street. And I'm so thankful to God for GVS. A wee while ago, I was reading a book. It's called Deep Calls to Deep. It's written by Tony Horsfall. Maybe some of you have read it. It's all love. Jane, have you read it? It's a great, great book, so it is. But Tony makes the comment in his book that God's unrelenting objective is to form the life of his son, Jesus Christ, in you and me. That's God's unrelenting objective, as Tony Horsfall expresses it. And you know, that made me think, because I believe sometimes God, as he restores our souls, and as he is in the business of forming the life of his son in you and in me, I believe this often happens when he makes us lie down in green pastures, these green pastures that we read about in Psalm 23. Now, I, as you already know, live in Cookstown, and I live away out in the heart of the country. And my house is part surrounded by fields, the other part is surrounded by Drummanor Forest Park. And you know, in the summertime, when the sun is shining and the skies are blue and it's nice and warm and the birds are singing, do you see that field at the side of my house? It just looks like a place I could go out and lie down in them. It looks so inviting. It looks like a place I could go out and lie down the broad of my back and just daydream and all the rest of it. It looks like how I imagine these green pastures that God talks about in this passage of Scripture. It, in my mind's eye, that green field and that nice summer's day just looks like those green pastures that God is talking about in this portion of Scripture. It's so inviting, so it is. But you know, and I think there's a few boys here know a thing or two about fields. So there is, you know rightly, if you went and lay down in the middle of that field at the side of my house, you would not be one bit comfortable at all. Not at all. It would be, it's a field where there's animals, where there's tractors, where there's one thing and all, and it wouldn't be one bit comfortable to lie in at all. And you know, as I have spent time meditating on Psalm 23 and getting close to God's word, I have come to realize that the picture that I have carried about in my head for as long as I can remember of what I think those green pastures that God is talking about and that David is talking about, those green pastures that he makes us lie down in, do you know, the picture that I have carried about in my head bears no resemblance at all to these green pastures that the Lord, who is our shepherd, makes us lie down in. Because you see, when we get close up to God's word and when we realize that God has put his finger on us and is making us to lie down in his green pasture, it can often start off by feeling very uncomfortable and very unfamiliar and very scary. And that describes in a very small way how I felt last year. I'd been working in First Marafelt for over 6 years. I'd spent 6 months there in my training. I'd spent 3 months there in my probationary year, and I served there for nearly five and a half years as a deaconess. And I love the people in Macrafelt. I still do. I love the work that I'm involved, that I was involved with, and I was very content. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't perfect, but that's normal, isn't it? But I loved the work that I was involved with in Macrafelt. And then on the 6th of August last year, we got an email, all the serving deaconesses, that there was a vacancy had arisen in Great Victoria Street and in South Belfast Friendship House. And as I read the information about this job, I usually never opened those emails at all, but this one seemed to attract my attention. I felt a stirring in my heart. But to be honest, although there was that little flutter of interest and excitement in it, I truly did not want to leave Macrafelt, because you see, I had my plans made, because I'm near retirement age. You know, I know I don't look at all that, but you know, I have to admit it. And I thought, you know, I'll keep going here, and Lord, when the time is right, I'll know when it's time to retire. However, as I prayed for wisdom and discernment and sought God's will, and as I talked it over with my children, I have two kids. David lives and works in Belfast. Naomi lives and works in Edinburgh. Sadly, my husband is dead. But I talked it over with my two grown-up kids. I call them kids. They're not kids at all. They're grown-up. They're both in their 30s, so they are. But they encouraged me to knock on the door and see if it would open. And so with shaking hands, I submitted that application form. In the time leading up to the interview, which was just on the 17th of September last year, you know, in many ways I kept thinking I was completely off my head applying for this job, but I began to realise that this frightening green pasture that God seemed to be making me lie down in was actually only a green pasture for one reason and one reason only. It was green because God was there. God was in the midst of this. Let me explain in a small way how God was with me through that very frightening time. 8 days before my interview, it was a Sunday, I walked into the church office to get something out of the postbox. And there in front of, just sitting randomly on the desk in front of me, was a page, a coloured in page that some of the children had been working with in some of the groups. And there was a verse of scripture on it. Now, whoever left it sitting there didn't know that God had an important plan for his living word. But I'm convinced that God in his love made sure that it was placed exactly there in that specific place, especially for me that Sunday morning. Because you see, no one apart from my children and obviously my boss, the Reverend Curry, he's the minister of the church, he knew that I was going for an interview, and three other trusted friends knew that I was going for that interview. Nobody else in church, none of my friends in church knew, because I wasn't able to talk about it, because it's just, you just don't talk about those things. And something that I desperately needed to talk to my friends about, I had to keep inside me. It was like I was harbouring this great big secret. And do you know, my stomach that Sunday morning was completely churning. Do you know what that verse said? It was Isaiah 41 and 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Do you know, it was just like getting a telephone call from God. The journey that God took me on, and I could spend 2 hours telling you how many times in those weeks leading up to that interview how God spoke so directly to me through his word, but we haven't got time. The journey that God took me on as the process of moving to work in Belfast unfolded was a place of grief, as I left people and projects that were so close and dear to my heart. And it was a journey that was full of fear and almost, do you know, I really was in denial and disbelief that this was actually happening to me. But I believe God was making me lie down in that unexpected and difficult time, because it was there that God was continually and continuing to relentlessly form the life of Christ in me. And you know, it has become for me an ongoing place of restoration. That's a lifelong process. So I'm just wondering, has anybody here been brave enough to restore anything? Has anybody done a bit of restoration? Have you ever restored anything at all? I redecorated my bedroom about a month ago. I can tell you the mess that I got into. It was something phenomenal, so it was. Thankfully, it's all done now. But, you know, if you restore something, it involves back-breaking work. You need lots of patience. But you know the thing you need most with restoration? You need a before picture and after picture. You see what it is and that is a kind of useless at the minute, but you have that after picture, don't you, of what it can be whenever it's restored. And it always costs some time and it always costs some money. And this Lord, who is our shepherd, who makes us lie down in green pastures that we maybe wouldn't naturally choose to lie down in, is in that place concerned with the restoration of our souls. Because you see, your soul and my soul are very valuable and precious to God. And sometimes that means we're stripped right back to the bare boards, because God often uses the difficult and challenging circumstances of our lives to take us and break us and mold us and remake us into the people that he would have us to be. Because you see, our living God has perfect vision. He sees what we are in our sin. He sees how lost we are and helpless in our sin. And he can see what we can become in Christ. And for the bride of Christ, the church, the lifetime restoration work that needs to be done in each one of us, in our souls, when we enter into kingdom of God living, happens in God's time and in God's way, because our souls are precious and valuable to him. I wonder, within your personal circumstances this morning, could you allow the words of Psalm 23 to hold you in the storms of your life? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Our time, I have no idea what time it is, I don't see a clock, but anyway, you keep me right, Jane. But our time, I think we're going there, we're going on rightly, so we are. And I want to take a little minute. I hope that was helpful to you to hear what it was like for me to leave a precious place. But I have gone to a precious place. God is good. But I want to tell you a little bit about Friendship House. I don't know if you know anything about Friendship House or where it is, or have you ever visited it, or if you know anything about Sandy Row, but Friendship House sits right smack bang in the middle of Sandy Row, and you are very welcome to come and visit us in Friendship House. Give me a ring before you come to make sure that I'm there or that somebody's there, and you're very welcome to come to Friendship House. It's a vibe. Sandy Row, I don't know if there's anybody here from Sandy Row or from that area, but it is a vibrant community of people. Yes, many of them are dealing with difficult situations and problems. That makes them no different to me and probably makes them no different to you. But they are good people. And you know, there's no filters on the Sandy Row people. Yeah, they're full of fun, they're full of humour, and they're full of love, and they tell it to you straight. There's been a faithful presence, Christian presence, in Sandy Row area for years. The Belfast City Missioners have faithfully walked the streets of that area down through the years, speaking the gospel. And there's small churches as well within that community who have sown precious seeds of the gospel. And in Friendship House, we too have been given an opportunity in this moment of time to point all who come over our threshold to Jesus Christ. Let me introduce to you the team. William Harkness, Reverend William Harkness, he's the manager there, and he would be my line manager there, so he is. There's Eunice, who has served God there for many, many, many years. So she and William keep us all right, so she does. Gemma is our new youth and children's worker. She's covering Natalie's maternity leave. Natalie, who is the youth and children's worker, is off on maternity leave. She's just had a little baby girl. Do you know Natalie, do you? She's just had a little baby girl. So Gemma is covering her maternity leave. Gemma was our intern last year, and Gemma is a blessing. Do pray for Gemma. She is a lovely Christian young woman, a lovely godly young woman, so she is. And then we've got Carol, who is our new intern. She started mid-September, and she will intern with us probably to next June. I'm not sure what time she's finishing at. And so that's the team. And then there's me, of course, as well. Basically, all I am, don't be thinking I have any big fancy role in Friendship House, very much a pastoral role. And these hands, just turn them, I wash dishes, I tidy up, I talk to kids, I talk to adults. And so I just do whatever has to be done. So we do. So what do we get up with? Get up to in Friendship House? At present, there's a varied programme for adults and children. So we'll maybe start with the adults. So we'll try and rip through that right and quickly. Every Tuesday morning, this coming Tuesday morning, we have a drop-in coffee morning. This was actually requested by some of the ladies. They said, what is there for us? Some of the younger women, and they said, what is there for us? This is the seniors group on a Wednesday's for sort of the seniors, so they wanted something. So we started just a drop-in coffee morning. And Wilma and I, William's wife and I, work together. I'm so thankful for Wilma. She's a lovely friend to me, and we get on well together, and we work well together. So Wilma and I take it in turns to lead that little coffee morning. Just simply a time where sometimes there would maybe be six or seven women drop in for a coffee. Quite often there's just two. And we're using a little devotional book. We leave the ladies with a thought for today. We're using Catherine Campbell's Rainbows for Rainy Days. You might know it. Do you know that is such a thought-provoking little book? So it is. Last Tuesday, we just had two women there. You could say to me, Eileen, why do you go to all that bother just for two women? But those two women come every week. And you know, they are thirsty for God. They are interested. They are engaging with this little devotional, as are the other women as well. But you know, we have had many gospel-rich conversations. So please do pray for that little Tuesday morning drop-in coffee. On a Wednesday afternoon, there's a friendship hour. There's probably, sometimes there's 10, sometimes there's 15, sometimes there's 20 ladies who come to that afternoon, sort of early afternoon group. And many of these women who come are godly women, and it is a privilege to be in their company. Sometimes Eunice has taken them off on a shopping spree to Newton Ards next Wednesday. Thankfully, I think I've got out of that one. Generally, we just sit round, we drink tea, we have sandwiches, we eat buns, we talk, we share a devotion. Wilma and Gemma and I take it in turns to share a devotional thought. We are working our way through Psalm 23 at the minute, so we are, which is lovely. But you know, it is a real honour. I would just spend my time going round the ladies, chatting and talking. And some of those ladies will quietly share with me stuff that is troubling them. And, you know, they ask me to pray for them. And I don't take that lightly. It is a place where there is growth, spiritual growth, and a real heart for prayer and asking for prayer. So do pray for that little group of women who come on a Wednesday afternoon. Thursday morning, we have a toddlers group. And yes, that it's work. The work with the children there is important. But do you know, those toddlers are awfully useful because they don't come on their own. They bring mummies and grannies and aunties. And oh, you have no idea, the whole pile of people that come along to that little group. And and it is a privilege. All of us have had an opportunity just to sit. That's a part of the week that I really love, because you just sit and talk to women. I was talking to a lady on Thursday morning. Her little girl comes to one of the homework clubs, and I knew by her little girl last week that there was something wrong with her because she left early, and I knew there was something bothering her. She did share a little bit with me about what it was, so I had a chance to sit and talk to her mommy, who brings her little grandchild to that group, and we had a long chat. Her daughter's being bullied, and we had a long chat together and shared with each other our experiences of that, and it was good to be able to sit and listen. And so we've many conversations with the adults in the toddlers group. On Thursday afternoon, there's the Trussell Trust runs a food bank from Friendship House. Gemma and I are waiting patiently to get our training done because we'd like to become volunteers in that ministry. Now, I don't have that much time to, I can't be there every week, but I would like to think I could go to that once a month. Please don't think that the people of Sandy Row use that food bank, because they don't. People from Sandy Row are okay. Materialistically, they have plenty, so they do. So the folks that come in to the food bank are the homeless and some different nationalities who maybe some people are waiting on seeking asylum in Northern Ireland and in Belfast. So I do pray that we will get that training through quickly. I think it's going to happen sometime before Christmas, because I'm looking forward to being a little part of that very necessary ministry in Sandy Row. I want to take a wee moment or two to tell you, are we all right with time, are we? A minute or two, right, well, I have to get ripped through these homework clubs, so I do. We've got three homework clubs. I want to tell you about the older kids, first of all. P4 to 6, boys and girls. Tomorrow, at half past three to half past four, we all have about 8 or 9 little girls who'll come in and get some help with their homework. Same on a Tuesday afternoon. And then on a Wednesday, last Wednesday, in the P7 and upwards, P7, year 8, year 9, there was 27 of them came. The P4 to 6 groups are quite small at the minute. That older group is very large, and it is very busy, and it's very noisy. But, you know, I want to tell you about a wee boy. I'm very aware I haven't told you any stories. Last week, this wee lad. Now, this wee lad, I tell you, if he was here now, he could buy and sell every one of us all at the one time. He's in P7, so he is. And he came to me and he says, Eileen. I says, yes. I was sitting on the table, so I looked up at him. I says, yes. And he says, she said a bad word. She swore. I says, just you sit down beside me, boy. And he looked at me and he sat down beside me. I says, tell me this. I says, have you ever said a bad word? I says, have you ever used a swear word? No. And then he paused, and I looked at him again. I says, maybe we'll ask that question a bit again. Have you ever said a bad word? And he didn't answer me. And I says, you know, I says, that wee saying about people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I says, you sort out your own swearing. I says, before you start sorting out everybody else's. But the toddlers, that homework, I could spend all day telling you stories, so I could. But, you know, at the minute, those homework clubs are simply homework. That's what they were whenever I went there in November. Just they come in, they get help with their homework. We are indebted to the students who come and help with that homework, and it is a real blessing. There are kids here at Queen's and here at Stramillis and the different universities and colleges around Belfast. There's a number of them come and help with those homework clubs, but at the minute it is simply a homework club. But do you know, I just have it in my heart. I know that there is probably something more that we could be doing that would be relevant to these kids, that we could have an intentional speaking the gospel to them. We do sometimes in conversation, but we would value prayer and wisdom and vision and inspiration as to how we could deepen that homework club. I wanted to tell you about the P1 to 3s. Tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, there'll be about 17 or 18 P1 to 3 girls arriving. On the Tuesday, it's the boys. And do you know, when I arrived in Friendship House, that was simply a playgroup. They came in, they constantly ate chocolate toast and there was toys everywhere. And yes, play is very, very important, but Gemma and I realised very quickly, and I knew that there was so much more we could do in that group. So we've changed it around a little bit. We've built into the foundations that were already laid there, and we're so thankful for the foundations that have been dug slowly and patiently into Friendship House. And now the children come in, we have a themed craft work for them to do. There's no toys out at all, so they do a craft work that is relevant to the Bible story that they're going to hear. And we're working through many, and I'll not spend time telling you what we're doing. We do the craft work. They absolutely love doing that craft work. Then we go down to the back of the room and they either are read a Bible story, they watch it on a screen, or we did a drama one day to speak out a Bible story. Then we quiz them. We'd have a real great fun with a quiz, and we're teaching them memory verses. Do pray that these verses of God's word will be sealed in their young hearts, and that when they grow up they will remember these words that they have been taught. About 3:15, they get their chocolate toast and the toys come out and they have great fun. So they have. Are we making a difference? Somebody asked me that question. Are we making a difference? I really don't know if we're making a difference, but you know what I do know is that God is in control. He's using us in ways that we know nothing about. So do pray for these children, that God's precious word will be sealed in their hearts. We also work outside of Friendship House. We have an opportunity to go to Blythefield Primary School. It's just at the other end of Blythe Street, and a lot of our children come from that school, and we help out in the breakfast club. One of us is there each morning serving out the cereal and the toast to maybe 40 kids who come in at 8 o'clock for their breakfast. Please do pray for Mrs. Catherine Rolson. She is the principal of Blythefield Primary School, and she is a very gifted lady, and I have a huge respect for her. Please do pray for Catherine and the teachers. Blythefield is mainstream, but they also deal with many, many difficulties in that school. And so do pray for Catherine Olson. Tomorrow morning, before 8 o'clock, she'll be in her office, so she will. I also have the privilege of being a volunteer down in City Way. That's a day centre just down on Sandy Row. I applied. It's a trust-run day centre, so I applied to become a volunteer. So I'm officially a volunteer in the day centre. Pray for Jill Cowan, who is the manager there, and their staff there do an amazing job in that day centre, and they allow me in. Last Monday, Gemma and Carol and I went down, and we got an hour with a group of 10 people, and we got reading a Bible story, praying with them, doing a craft work. We did a general knowledge quiz. Now, that's a big thing, because it's very hard to do stuff like that in Trust Run, because they are very, very, we have to respect the boundaries that the Trust put on their establishments. But that was a big thing that we were allowed, and do pray that we will be allowed to do that again. I'm almost finished, so I am, but God's word calls us to devote ourselves to prayer and be watchful and thankful. And I wonder, could I challenge you this morning to partner with us? Could you partner? You know, I know you're going to say we're in Omagh, you're in Belfast. How can we be of any help? But could you partner in prayer with us? Probably about 6 times I have just started writing a prayer letter that goes out to the PW Management Committee, and it's now starting to go to a few churches as well who have said, yeah, we will start to pray for you. And I wonder, would there be 2 or 3 ladies here or 2 or 3 gentlemen here who could say to themselves, maybe in your own prayer triplet or wherever you do your praying, that you could say, yeah, we could pray. We could be involved in the ministry and the hard work and partner with the Friendship House people in prayer. If you would like to get involved with that, or that is ringing a bell in your heart, Margaret, you have my contact details. Please don't hesitate to get in touch, and I will talk to you about how we can get that hard copy of that prayer letter out to you. I'm finished now. I have no idea what time it is, but anyway, do you remember the story that I told the children about those poor sheep. And that really was true. I'll never forget. It's a vision that will never leave my mind, so it won't. Of those poor sheep following my neighbour down that busy road. They got safely to where they were to be. Not because they were clever. Not because they knew where they were going. They got to the destination they were meant for because they kept their eyes fixed on the one they knew and trusted. And that was my friend, Hazel. And my prayer for all of us here this morning, as we imbibe God's precious word into our souls, is that we will learn that we can trust God with all of our heart if we choose not to rely on our own understanding. And I pray that in every circumstance that you face and that I face this afternoon and this incoming week, I pray that in every circumstance that we would be enabled to acknowledge his sovereignty and that we will trust him to lead us in right paths. Because you see, we can say, if we know Jesus, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Thank you so much for listening. And I also want to thank you for a little envelope that I was given for Friendship House. We really appreciate that support. And I want to say I will be writing to you, Margaret, about that. But thank you for that. Do you want me to announce the offering? Offering. It's offering now.
Let us pray. God of grace, we hear your call to generous giving in the way you meet our needs each day and in the peace you give which passes understanding. Having received so much, we offer all we have, our time, our talents, and our money for the advancement of your kingdom. Bless these gifts for the work of your church. Amen. We close our service this morning with sing hymn number 118 in Glory to God, which is Lord, the light of your love is shining. maybe we could say the grace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.